I want to get right into my message today. We are in a sermon series called Under God. Everybody say Under God. Under God. All right, so you are with me this morning. I want to remind you, as I said I would, each and every week, that we are just a few weeks away from Election Day. It is November 4th, is Election Day, and it's just over 2 weeks away. So I want to encourage you, make sure that you get that on your calendar. Did you know that you can vote? You can vote already. So my wife and I, just this past week, were able to cast our ballot. And November 5th, that's what I thought. I'm sorry about that. But I'm just encouraging you to vote early. That's exactly what I'm doing there. That's why I had that date, November 5th, and I encourage you to do that. But we've been in this sermon series, Under God, and we've been talking about really kind of the problem with politics, all right? So we have a government that rules over this country, all right? And somebody told me that years ago, there is no such thing as a perfect government. There is no perfect system, government system here. And so we understand that. The problem that I see with politics is the tendency or the temptation to become more dependent on man than we are dependent on God. And that's where I really think the problem is. And I tell you, every time I read through the Bible and every time people go down that road where their dependency is on man and not on God, it is always problematic. It always brings problems onto people. And so I want to remind you this morning, as we inch closer and closer to that day of election and we decide who the next president of the United States is, I want to remind you that whoever holds the office, never forget that our God still holds the world. Amen? Amen. That Jesus Christ is the King of Kings and He is the Lord of Lords. And so in this sermon series, we are discovering how to live as kingdom followers. If you are a follower of Jesus Christ, you are a kingdom follower. We're following His kingdom, and we're learning how to follow, be a kingdom follower to the Lord of Lords in a political world. So I don't know if any of you like to watch Saturday afternoon college football. I love to watch that. But it was just full of political commercials. Here's what I learned from the political commercials that I watched yesterday. First of all, no matter who you vote for, your taxes are going up. That's what they told me. And the flyers that I received. Oh, honest to goodness, man, if I would have collected all the flyers that I've received in the mail, that stack would be that big. And I don't know what I could do with that. But your taxes are going up. We are heading for a Great Depression, according to the political ads that we heard. That is the end of Social Security. I'm sorry to tell you that, but it is the end. Whoever gets voted in, and for sure we are heading for World War III, so whoever gets elected, World War III is just around the corner. And, least but not least, your candidate, is the only person who can save you from all of these things. So whoever you're voting for, your candidate, that's what I learned. I don't know what you picked up from yesterday, but my question for you this morning is, we talk about saving you. Who do you trust to save you? Who are you putting your trust in to save this country? I love this passage. Somebody told me this years ago, Psalm 20. The writer tells us there are entities that we often look to in this world to save us. We look to a doctor. We look to political figures. And the passage goes like this, and I've inserted some politics in this a little bit into the scripture verse here. And this is Psalm 20, verse 7 and 8. Where the writer says, some people, they trust in chariots. Okay, that's kind of like the GOP, the Republican elephant. There's some people who their trust and their hope is in the Republican Party. Okay? But then there are some who trust in horses. Well, the mascot or whatever for the Democratic Party is the donkey. Okay? Some trust in horses. And some trust in donkeys. Some people who trust in the conservative Republican candidates and their policies, and there's some people, no, you got it all wrong. No, that's only gonna ruin our country. And there's people like, no, we need to follow the progressive Democratic way and the candidates and their policies. But we're Jesus followers. We're followers of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. But we will trust in the name of the Lord our God. Jesus, the King of Kings. Is he your king today? Is he your king today? Is he who he says he is? So Jesus was, and I want to ask you this. I ask you this question. And so you go to get on your, write in your ballot, write on your ballot, and whether you do that on the 5th or you can do that beforehand, you only get to do it once. So by the way, you get to vote once, all right? If Jesus was on your ballot, would he get your vote? Would he get your vote? Today's message is entitled Allegiance. We've been talking about in God we trust, in God we trust, under him, under authority. And the word allegiance is this. It is loyalty or devotion to a person, a group, or cause. You see, when we give our allegiance to someone or something, it means that we promise I'm going to be loyal, I'm going to be supportive. I mean, I am all in. Everybody say all in. That's been our theme for this past year for the church is I'm going to be all in. Not for the church, but I'm going to be all in for Jesus. So people, we go all in for a lot of things. We can be all in for our country. We can be all in for a political party, for our sports team, our career. We could be all in for our family, all in for our kids. We can be all in for the Green Bay Packers. We can be all in for the Ohio State Buckeyes. Amen. 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 There are some people who are all in on their addiction, all in for the alcohol, all in for the drugs, all in for the pornography addiction. So we all have a way of elevating things in our lives. We can elevate things in our lives to a place that makes them more important than anything else. I hope it wasn't something that I said, guys. Okay, all right, I'm out of here. All right. The question becomes this. Here's the question. The question is, what is the most important thing in your life? And the Bible tells me this, that my full allegiance belongs to God and to God alone. There are two and very important reasons of why your allegiance belongs to God, okay? Are you ready for this? Here's kind of the tagline of this message. Two very important reasons why you need to give your full allegiance to God. Because number one, God commands it. And number two, Jesus demands it. Your allegiance, if you are a Jesus follower today, you need to understand that God commands it and Jesus demands it. Let me talk about that here just a moment here. Jesus, God commands it. In Exodus 20, verses 3 through 4, we have God's top 10 list, the 10 commandments, and they still apply today. And so in the top 10 list, number 1 and number 2, apply to what I'm talking about right here. The number one commandment is this, you must not have any other God but me. In other words, nothing in your life should come before God. Now, a God is a person or a thing that has full authority in your life. We talked about that last week. They have full authority. They have all power. And you always look to that person or that thing to save you. Second commandment is this. Second commandment, God says to us, you must not, listen to the language, you must not make for yourself an idol of any kind or an image of anything in the heavens or the earth or in the sea. You must not bow down to them or worship them. For I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God who will not tolerate your affection for any other God. Man, that is strong language. That God commands us of his allegiance. He says, do not bow down. Do not give your worship to anything else but to give it to me. You see, when you give worship, you're giving that person your affection, your total attention. You're all in with that thing. And again, listen, we can fall into temptation of giving that to many things, and especially around this type of year, a lot of people are putting that towards a political candidate or a politician. And again, I'm not against government, but I'm against us making political figures our idols in our lives. So I said this, that God commands it, and number two, Jesus demands it. Jesus. Isn't he the nice guy walking around with the little lamb and just walking around with the little children? Would he really demand something so heavy? He does. Do you know that as Jesus followers, he demands your allegiance? Well, some people are like, well, what would that look like? What would that look like? Well, I would quit everything. If I gave my allegiance to Jesus, some people might think, you got to quit everything. You got to dress yourself in this really heavy brown robe, go to a monastery, and you pray all day long. You read your Bible. You go to church every Sunday, and you just be a good person. Is that really what Jesus wants? Is that what Jesus wants from you? No, I would say those things are religion. Listen to me, I don't know where you are in your faith journey today, but I want you to know this. If you get anything out of this message, Jesus doesn't want your religion. Jesus wants your heart. When you give your heart to something, the other thing that goes right along with that is your allegiance. When you put your heart into something, you go all in. Everybody say all in. That's how you know. That's how you know where your allegiance is, because that's where your heart is. In Luke 9:23, Jesus gives us a description of what allegiance looks like. Now, I want you to get the context of what I'm talking about here. Just a few verses there before this passage in Luke 9:23, Jesus has a conversations with his disciples. And he's asking them these questions. And he's just kind of like, sometimes he just goes right there. He just goes right there and challenging people. He said, listen, guys, you've been following me here for about 3 years or so, and you've seen everything that has happened. I just got a question. Who do people say that I am? Who do people say that I am? Well, I think if we were asked the same question, we would get the same answer today from a lot of people. Well, Jesus was a good teacher. He was a good prophet. I mean, he just did a lot of good things. So that's kind of how the disciples answered. And then they said, okay. What about you? Who do you say that I am? I ask you that question this morning. Who is Jesus to you? And the disciples answered, you're the Messiah. I mean, you're the Son of God. Then it says that a first few years later, Jesus said to the crowd, this is where we see that he demands it. He says, if anyone wants to be a follower of Jesus, can I just have all my Jesus followers? Will you just raise your hand? Yeah. Man, put it up loud and proud. I'm a Jesus follower. If you want to be a Jesus follower, if you're declaring today that Jesus is the Messiah, if you want to be more than just a Christian by name, if you truly want to follow Jesus, then he says this, you must. Look at your neighbor and say, you must. You must. Now that's hard language. I mean, it's not like Jesus, if you try, just give it a try and see how it works out. This is demanding language. There's no ifs, ands, or buts around it. There's no other ways around it. It's not a request. Listen to me. It's not a request. It's a demand. Jesus said, you must give up your own way, take up your cross daily, and follow me. That's allegiance. That's what we give to God. And somebody's like, well, that's kind of hard. That's kind of heavy there, but come on, guys. We know what it means to give allegiance to things in this world. I don't know if this is really asking all that much. I think we're just really giving back just a portion of what he has given to us. So let's take this apart here this morning. What it means to give allegiance. First of all, Jesus says you must give up your own way. So to give up your own way, it really means to surrender. Surrender. Can we just do this right now? This is like the universal reaction to surrender. Can we just, everybody just lift up your hands? Yeah, right there. There we go. I give up. I give up. Hold it right there. That's what we're going to do. Stick them up. That's what it means. Okay, so when you surrender, this is what surrender means. To surrender means to stop fighting against and start working with. Let me say that one more time. When you surrender, I am going to stop fighting you, and I'm going to start working with you. I love to study history. We study the Civil War. We know that our country went through this great rebellion where the Confederate States, they broke off from the rest of the country. And there was this great Civil War, and hundreds of thousands of people died and suffered and went through misery. And finally, the Confederate States, they finally came to this place where they surrendered. And Ulysses S. Grant, he says, no, it's more than just surrender. It's total surrender. Like, it's not just like, well, you know, this condition, it's complete surrender. And what the Confederate States made the decision to do is they said, we are making the decision to stop fighting with you, and now we are going to start working with you to rebuild this nation. It's kind of like a marriage that has been reconciled, and you have this couple, and they've been fighting with each other and just conflict. And I hope maybe some of you are in that place right now, or maybe you've been in that place in your marriage. It's just conflict. And you throw out the D word, divorce. And I don't even like to say that word. But just that's the only thing. That's the only way we can reconcile this marriage. But finally, the couple makes the decision to stop fighting against each other. And they make the decision that we're going to start working together for this marriage. And so in verse 24 and 26, through the rest of this passage, Jesus explains how futile life is when we choose not to completely surrender to him. Listen to these verses here. It says, if you try to hang on to your life, you're going to lose it. But if you give up your life, if you surrender for my sake, you'll save it. And what do you benefit if you gain the whole world but are yourself lost or destroyed? If anyone is ashamed of me and my message, the Son of Man will be ashamed of that person when he returns in his glory and in the glory of the Father and the holy angels. Surrender, surrender. I was looking back in our years here of ministry, and we moved here in 2006, right around this time. It's about, I don't know how many years ago, is that 18 years ago that we moved from Ohio. I was a youth pastor then, and we moved to DePere, Wisconsin to become a lead pastor. And man, Michelle was doing really good. She was a teacher in a really great school district, and we were part of a large church. But we knew God was calling us to be a lead pastor, and we really felt the call of God to go to this small storefront church in DePere. And we took a 60% cut in pay to do it without insurance. And we were in debt. The problem is we were in debt before we made that decision, before we took that step of faith. We made some foolish decisions. I'll blame it on, I'll take responsibility. I made a lot of foolish decisions because a lot of times I put what I wanted to get over what God had called me to give. I really put a lot of value in things. I remember right around that time we went out, we had no business doing this, but we went out and bought a brand new minivan, you know, for our kids because we needed it. You know, brand new. Why get a used one? You can get a brand new one. And we just made I made a lot of foolish decisions. And what I had to do is we made the decision that we are going to get out of debt. So we worked and we made a lot of decisions. We're no longer going to buy here. We're going to do this and coupons and all this stuff. But we worked. It took years for us to get out of the debt that we had accumulated, but we had to surrender this belief in our spending habits. We had to realize that I had to give my full allegiance to God instead of all these other things. The Apostle Paul challenges us to surrender our whole life to Jesus. He says in Romans 12:1, he says, I plead with you to give your bodies. What he's saying right here, is when he says surrender your bodies, he says, give God your life. Give him your life, and you'll never regret it. Give him your life. Because of all that he has done for you, well, what has Jesus done for us? He gave his all. He gave his all for you. He says, then let your life be a living and holy sacrifice. A sacrifice is a surrendered gift. When you come and you give an offering to the church or you give your tithe, it is something that you have, you possess, but you surrender it. It's a gift that I surrender. And he says, let your life, and Jesus was a sacrifice on a cross. And he says, but I'm not calling you to go to the cross. I'm calling you to be a living sacrifice, the kind that he will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship God. You want to really, 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 really worship God? Give him your life. Here's the three biggest things, the three biggest W's that I had to surrender in that season of my life. First of all, I had to surrender my will. Write these down. Write these down because you might need to surrender the same W's. I had to surrender my will, my desires, my hopes, my dreams, my desire for things. I had to surrender that. The second thing is I had to surrender my ways. You see, Too often I had a broken system of the way that we spent money and the way that we did things. And I instead of doing life my way, I had to surrender and take up God's way. Instead of doing whatever I wanted, I had to start seeking God for what he wanted me to do. I had to change it. I had to change my ways. And the third thing I had to change was my wallet. I had to change my wallet. You say, do you realize what you do with not necessarily your wallet, but the things that are in your wallet? Do you realize what you do with the things in your wallet will reveal your allegiance every single time? Reveals it. What you do with it. I got some receipts in here and that will show you what my allegiance is. But I had to recognize that the power that my wallet had on my life, and I had to realize that all that I have, I had to come to this realization, everything that I have in this wallet is not mine. It's his. And I had to, talk about surrender, I had to surrender my will, my ways, and my wallet to him, and I had to learn to reallocate. Everybody say reallocate. When you reallocate, it's like, you know, I'm spending money here, and I need to stop. I need to start giving to where God wants me to give. We're going to be talking about this in the month of November, and there's going to be a challenge coming in the month of November, and I'm going to challenge you in your allegiances, especially in the area of your wallet. There's a program where we support an organization called Convoy of Hope. Convoy of Hope is making, it's like Samaritan's Purse, and it is making a difference with these tornado and hurricane victims, not only here in the United States, but all around the world, and they have a feeding program, and they have discovered that, man, if we have the ability that even one person, your one day, what you make in one day of your work, your one day gift could change the year for a child. It could feed them, both feed them and educate them. And what I'm going to challenge the church, and I'm just kind of putting it out there right now, I want to challenge you, church, that you would give, one day of your wages, whatever you make in a day, if you do the math, that you give it to one day to change the life of a child. That's reallocating God's way. That is surrender. I'm going to continue on here. Allegiance is shown through our obedience. Allegiance is shown through our surrender. Allegiance God commands it and Jesus demands it. Number two, Jesus says, take up your cross. And here's this word that's inserted there. Underline it in your notes. Daily. Everybody say daily. Take up your cross. Take up your cross is not like, hey, you know, if you serve in your church, you know, take up your cross, you know, once a Sunday. Or if you just serve once a month, you know, he doesn't say, hey, take up your cross like once a month. You know, see how that works out for you. When we take up our cross daily, that word is obedience. In the book of Acts, the apostles kept getting arrested and kept thrown into jail because they wouldn't stop preaching Jesus. It just wouldn't stop. And the people and the authorities said, listen, if you don't stop, you guys are going to be in a lot of trouble. I mean, possibly. And this was their response. And they said, Peter and the apostles replied, man, I was really sorry, but we must obey. Everybody say obey. We must obey God rather than you guys. I'm sorry. I understand you guys are an authority, but God is a higher authority, and you're calling me to be in disobedience to God, and can't do that. They were simply being obedient to their calling. Listen to me. These disciples were being obedient to their calling. Here's what obedience is. Obedience always starts with an attitude followed up with an action. Obedience always starts with an attitude. And we can say, well, I got the attitude of obedience. Well, show me. Show me. It's always followed up with an action. And just as the apostles had been called, they had a calling on their life, right? When we look through these, we're like, oh, these great men and women of God, they had callings on their life. Well, guess what? If you're a Jesus follower, you have a calling on your life. If you have a calling on your life, will you raise your hand this morning? Raise your hand. If you're a Jesus follower, you have a calling on your life. We talked about this before. You have a calling, and it's a two-part calling. I'll quickly talk about this. Your first calling is to be a minister. Look at your neighbor and say, you're looking at a minister this morning. A minister. You know, when you minister to somebody, what you do is you see a need and you meet that need. That's how you minister to people. Somebody else's need. It's not like you look in the mirror and like, I see somebody who's hungry, so I'm going to go to the pantry and feed myself. That's not ministry. We're talking about somebody else, all right? So I'm going to minister. I see the need of somebody. And I'm going to help meet that need. That's what it means to be a minister. But you're more than just a minister, you're a missionary. Look at the other person next to you and say, I'm a missionary. I'm a missionary. And a missionary is somebody who's just called, just like these disciples, to share the life-changing message of Jesus to a lost world. It's like, hey, not only am I going to minister to you and help you with your needs, but I'm going to tell you. I want to tell you, we have a food pantry here. And by the way, in the month of November, we are going to encourage the church to help supply that food pantry. But we have this policy of what we do. We have people who come in throughout the week, mostly on Tuesdays. They come in and we bless people with food. And it's such an honor for us to be able to minister to people's felt needs. But before they leave, we always ask them the question, is there anything that we can pray with you about? And I would say, Yvonne, I don't know where you're at. 9 times out of 10, people mostly say yes. They mostly say yes. And we have the opportunity to share this life-giving message of Jesus with lost people. And John, Jesus tells us what this looks like. John 13, the Last Supper, Jesus is giving his disciples the last-minute instructions before he ascends into heaven, before he goes to the cross, and before he comes back. He says, after washing their feet, he put on his robe again and sat down and asked, do you understand what I was doing? You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right. You call me the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, right? Because that's what I am. And since I, your Lord and teacher and the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, because I have washed your feet, you ought to wash the other people's feet. Obedience. You should not only have the attitude that you would do it, but you do it with your action. Jesus went out of his way to do the ultimate dirty job. How many of you watch the show Dirty Jobs? How many of you like been disgusted by that show? I'm like, I can't watch this any longer. Back in that day, washing somebody's feet was the ultimate dirty job. But yet Jesus, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, got down on his knees and he took out a towel and he washed his disciples' feet, each and every one of them. Can you just imagine how humbled these men were? And then when he was done, he says this, I have given you an example to follow, for you to be obedient. Do as I have done for you. I tell you the truth, slaves are not greater than their master, nor is the messenger more important than the one who sends the message. Now that you know these things, now that you know what obedience looks like, God will bless you for doing them. Jesus has said to us, no matter who you are, no matter who you are in this building, God has given you a towel. He's given you a spiritual gift. Every one of you in this room, if you're a Jesus follower, you've been given a towel. Some of the towels might look different, may respond differently, but you have a gift. Can you just kind of imagine? Can you just, everybody, hold up your towel right here? You've been given a towel. God's called you to discover that towel, to put yourself in the opportunity to serve, and then to serve. To serve. You see, allegiance is shown through our obedience. Allegiance. God commands it, and Jesus demands it. Let me close with this one more thought here. Jesus said, and follow me. In other words, he says, I want you to be faithful. Faithful. Faithful means to keep on moving forward even when you don't want to. I don't want to. Tomorrow's Monday, folks. Sorry. I don't wanna, but I'm gonna. Faithfulness is, I don't wanna, but I'm gonna. 1 Corinthians 4:2, Paul says, it is required that those who have been given a trust must be faithful. Now, years ago, I used to do this crazy thing, and I don't know why I did it, maybe a midlife crisis or something, but I used to run marathons. I know I've run 12, actually, 12 marathons and other races. Here's what I know about marathons. You have to continually run towards the vision. The only thing that keeps you going, first of all, you got to kind of like running, all right? But the thing that keeps you going is you get a vision. You get a vision that I'm no longer here, but I am in this another place, and I am crossing the finish line, and I'm standing up before my wife and everybody else, and they're just applauding me. And they put this medal around my neck, and I'm just, I'm all that in a bag of chips. All of that. Here's the key to running a marathon, if any of you are interested. Here's the plan. Faithfulness is the plan. Faithfulness. You have to follow the running plan, okay? It takes 4 months to train for a marathon. 4 months, and you have to run 25 to 30 miles a week. Now, if you do the math, that equals approximately 350 to 400 miles total. You know how far that is? That is to Minneapolis and back. 4 months. 4 months. I know, isn't that crazy? But you have to follow the plan. And the way that you follow a plan is one morning you get up, you get ready, you put on the shoes, the running clothes, whatever, you get some food in your system, you get some water, and then you get out the door, but you're still not there yet, and then you get running. You put one foot in front of the other. Well, that's what you do on marathon day. You get up, like, oh my goodness, it's 4 o'clock in the morning, I don't want to run 26.2 miles, but you get up. And you get ready. You better get ready because this is race day. And you're getting those bananas. You're getting the pasta. You're getting all that food and you're getting all that water. And then you get out the door and you're driving to the marathon like, why am I doing this? And then you get running. And you reach this thing called the wall at mile 20. and you are just exhausted, and I run the Green Bay Marathon, and you run to Lambeau Field, and you get to the wall at mile 20, you look across the river, and there's Lambeau Field, and you have 6.2 more miles to run. That's really when the race begins. This morning, I would tell you, faithfulness, this is what Jesus practiced for us. Jesus got up. The Bible says that Jesus got up even while it was still dark, even after long days of ministry. And then he would get ready. He would spend time with his Father. Getting strengthened from that. And then he would get out. He would go outside into his world. And then he would get running. He would start ministering to the lost and to all the hurting. And I'll tell you this. I had to go digging for this morning. Like, where in the world is that bag? I got 12 marathons. What did I do with all those medals? Other races in here. I would get that medal around my neck, and that felt kind of cool for the day, and then I would put it in that bag and put it in the basement, in the storage bin. Whatever you're running for, whatever, just this never fulfilled me. All of this, it never fulfilled me. And I would ask you that question this morning, is what you're running towards, whatever it is that you pledge your allegiance to, is it fulfilling you? Is it, what is it doing for you? I'm going to tell you, this is just, it's nothing. I want Jesus. You know what I want to live for? You know what my new vision for life is? I want to live for the well done. Remember this story of the faithful servants? And remember the one who would take what God had given to him and he would multiply it, and the master would come to him and say, oh my gosh, you have taken what I give you and you have served and you have blessed and you have helped people. You've changed the world in Jesus' name. Well done, good and well done, good and faithful servants. Faithful servant. Allegiance is shown through our faithfulness because God commands it, and Jesus demands it. Just yesterday, I was having some breakfast at the men's breakfast, by the way. Men's breakfast every third Saturday. The log cabin, write that down. A couple of us guys were talking about what people are living for, what people are giving their allegiance to. And Joshua 24, the leader, Joshua, he sees the people of Israel swaying back and forth in their allegiance, the things that they're chasing. They're chasing all these things, and he's like, it's just... And he challenges them. He has a family meeting. He's like, it challenges them, everyone. And he says, it's your choice. It's your choice. But listen to what these words. He says, but I challenge you to, with your allegiance, to fear the Lord and serve him wholeheartedly. That's like, that's all in language there. That's like full allegiance. He says, I want to challenge you forever. Put away the idols your ancestors worshipped when they lived among the Euphrates River in Egypt. Serve the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Give him your allegiance. He says, but if you refuse to do that, that's your call. That's your choice. But I challenge you, choose today whom you will serve, whom you will give your allegiance to. And I challenge you this morning. Give your allegiance to Jesus. You'll never regret it. But it starts with relationship with him. Like I said before, God doesn't want your religion. He wants your relationship. I don't know where you are in your faith journey this morning, but I challenge you, as Joshua challenges people, give your allegiance to Jesus. I'm going to do that this morning. You can do that with me right here, right now. You are not at peace with him. You do not have a relationship, and you want to have that this morning. Just would you say, everybody bow your heads and say, God, I need you. I recognize that I've given my allegiance to things, to people, to political parties, and they never satisfy. Today, I choose to give my allegiance to Jesus. for you to be my King of Kings, my Lord of Lords. Forgive me my sins. I choose today to follow you. And everyone said, amen. Can we just give it up for the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords this morning? Amen.